Von Aschenbach sits on the beach and watches the other visitors at play, especially Tadzio, the young Polish boy. He buys some strawberries, and they're very, very ripe, and he comments on the oppressive weather, which accompanies the scirocco, which is this dry, hot wind that right. blows up, I believe, from North Africa and comes around the Mediterranean coastline. And it has a certain light, and it's quite oppressive, and he's starting to think that maybe he's come to the wrong place. Pondering his fascination with the boy, von Aschenbach recalls the death of his wife and the marriage of his only daughter. He's a man very much alone, and puts his interest in the boy down to a father's warmth. In the next scene, he travels by gondola to the mainland of Venice, and Venice is very dank and very hot, and he decides that he shouldn't have come at this time of year. He decides to cut his trip short, and he's going to travel to the clean, fresh air of the mountains. Right. As he starts to organize this, his luggage gets sent ahead, but unfortunately gets misdirected to Como, and he's very upset about this. I think I'd have followed my right. luggage to Como. But anyway, he says, he's very angry, and he says, I'm going to stay in Venice until my luggage and I are reunited. But not long after, he admits to himself that it's Tadzio that is the reason for his remaining.
Right.
On the beach, he watches Tadzio and his friends play and compete in games. He approaches the boy. He wants to speak to him. He wants to sort of break down this sort of weird fascination by just being normal with him.
Right.
But he can't bring himself to talk to him. Tadzio's family returns, and the boy turns and smiles at von Aschenbach. And von Aschenbach is struck by how powerful his feelings are. And unheard, he whispers, I love you. Von Aschenbach visits the hotel barber, who lets slip that there is a sickness in Venice, but refuses to elaborate.
Following the Polish family through the streets of Venice, he discovers through a German paper that there is rumor of cholera in Venice and that visitors have been advised to leave. He decides not to warn the Polish family and continues following them, no longer caring what anyone thinks of him. A group of players is entertaining visitors at the hotel. The hotel porter, which incidentally is the role that I'm playing, worries that the leader of the players has been indiscreet about the cholera outbreak with von Aschenbach and warns him to be silent.
Mm-hmm.
The character of the traveler at the start of the opera represents von Aschenbach's fate, and the same character is reincarnated as the elderly fop, the old gondolier, the hotel manager, the hotel barber, the leader of the players, and the voice of Dionysus.
Wow.
It's quite a tour de force for mm-hmm. a singer. These roles are all performed by the same singer. A Briton wrote the part for bass baritone John Shirley Quirk, and he was a singer that Briton greatly admired, not only for his singing, but for his excellent acting. In the COC production, these multiple roles will be sung by British baritone Peter Savage. We'll now listen to the scene with the players at the hotel.
Leave the blood alone, Sonny. Sono tutti vagabondi, vagabondi. La mia mamma always used to tell me, don't you choose Brunezzani. Sono tutti traditori, traditori, sono tutti traditori. Padre mio always used to tell me, never touch Renezzani. Sono tutte, sono tutte. So I shall never be able to marry, e viva, e viva la libertà. So I shall never be able to marry, e viva la libertà. So I shall never be able to marry, I shall never be able to marry, e viva la libertà, e viva.
Just all this.
So there is no plague in Venice.
Ah, that's a good one. Perhaps the Scirocco's a plague. Or the police, they are a plague. No, you've got it wrong, signore. It's the heat and the weather. Basta! Basta! Here, hands off!
What did you say to the German, signore?
Nothing, let go.
What did you say?
Told him he was talking a lot of nonsense. That's what I told him.
Oh, and then they're waiting and trying not to work.
A number of our listeners will probably be acquainted with the film version of Death in Venice. Luchino Visconti, also an opera director, made an art house film that was released in 71. It was shot in the same locations as the book and starred British actor Dirk Bogarde as von Aschenbach. Visconti used Gustav Mahler as the inspiration for Gustav von Aschenbach. Making the lead character a composer and giving him similarities to Mahler's life, I think the Britain opera follows the novel more closely. During the course of our COC book club this fall, I'm going to try and compare all three.
Right.
And there's more information about the film on our website under further reading. And in fact, the book and the DVD of the film will be available at the opera shop this fall.
I remember seeing the film back in the 70s, and it was a very powerful film and a very sort of taboo subject matter at that point.
That's right.
And I can remember you telling me a story about the possibility of him having Hollywood backers and that they wanted to change the story?
Yes, they wanted, according to Dirk Bogarde's autobiography, there were financiers who were willing to come on board, but they wanted Tadzio to be changed into a girl because this would be more acceptable. And Visconti was just tearing his hair off.
Yes.
You don't understand.
Yes.
But they finally got the backing they needed. There was also some concern because they hadn't got the rights to the film while they were planning. They hadn't got the rights to the book while they were planning the film.
Wow.
And their budget was slashed even more, and they had to pay out a large amount of money for that.
Right.
But Britain purposely did not see the film. It was quite a sensation when it came
right.
out, and this was right in the middle of him writing it. I don't know if he saw it later.
Wow.
This was right towards the end of his life.
Right.
But be interesting to know what he thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing with the story, von Aschenbach discovers that Venice has been hit by cholera. He's frantic to warn Tadzio's mother, and she walks right by him. She's very close to him, and again, he's unable to speak. And at that point, he wonders what it would be like if everyone were to die and only he and Tadzio were left alive, which is a pretty heavy consideration.
Yeah.
He realizes how bad things are for him when he has a dream. He has a dream in which Apollo resists Dionysus's call to indulge his baser instincts. Aschenbach wakes up from the dream. It's a nightmare for him. He can fall no further
right.
spiritually in every way.
And in fact, his life has spiraled down to the point where I think in his mind, he and Tadzio are the only people
yes.
in his world.
That's right. He can't even tell the mother of the object of his obsession, get out of Venice to save yourself and your family.
Yes.
He wants them there. He doesn't want to lose the boy. Von Aschenbach pays a visit to the hotel barber, and this is a very pathetic scene, certainly in the film as well, where the hotel barber dyes von Aschenbach's hair black and applies makeup to his face in an attempt to make him look youthful, but he looks grotesque,
right.
Rather like the elderly fop he meets right. at the beginning, who he scorned, this sort of very, very over-the-top, right. made-up character. And von Aschenbach sort of turned into that.
Right.
He's desperately clinging to his mortality. In this next track, we'll hear John Shirley Quirk as the hotel barber.
Yes, a very wise decision, if I may say so. One should not neglect oneself in one's middle life. Everyone should make a stand against advancing years. Guardate, signore, egregio, signore. Pray, oh, just a trifle, due to lack of interest, you would not neglect your health, your teeth. Then why refuse the use of cosmetics, cosmetics? Nothing ages a man like grey hair. Permit me to aid it just a little, just a little. Very wise. Magnificent. Oh, the difference. A baby, signore. No! But to tone up the skin, oh, just a little, a very little. Signore, my forte, to bring back the appearance of youth. Va bene, signore, give some brilliance to the eyes. Nothing brightens a face like the eyes. Still, an excellent subject, if I may say so. Guardate, signore, va bene, signore. Prego, prego, a masterpiece, a masterpiece. Now the signore can fall in love with a good grace. Prego, 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 prego. Addio, signore, egregio, signore.
Von Aschenbach sees the Polish family on the streets in Venice and follows them as usual. Tadzio hangs back a little and looks at von Aschenbach directly. And he's flustered but so excited that Tadzio is sort of acknowledging him but not betraying his presence.
Right.
He continues to follow the family until he's too weary. The hotel manager and porter arrange for the departure of the Polish family. Out on the beach, von Aschenbach sits in his usual chair. Tadzio is wrestling with his friend, but the game becomes rough and Tadzio is pushed into the sand. And von Aschenbach tries to get up and go to help him. Tadzio slowly wades out into the sea, turning with a beckoning gesture to von Aschenbach, who slumps back into his chair, and he's dead. We're going to hear the final scene now.
Thank you.
For more information about the recording we've been listening to and the COC's production of Death in Venice, please visit our website at coc.ca, where you can also purchase tickets and this recording online. This is Jana Wichlow with John Kreiter. Thank you, John, for joining me.
Thank you, Jana.
Please join us again in this continuing series of podcasts sponsored by DECA, the opera label.